I'm interested in the Ethereum chain because I like the people working on it. Mm-hmm. I like what they want to do with it. Mm-hmm. So to build the technology, to build it decentralized, and scaling is a secondary issue. It's mm-hmm. coming, but mm-hmm. the primary focus is a decentralized system where you don't have one central authority or a few central authorities having control over it.
Mm-hmm.
I like that philosophy.
Mm-hmm. That was Bucky Koo, or Bucky Puba, as he's known in the dev communities. And this is episode 2 of the Blockchain Pro podcast. Hello and welcome to episode 2 of the Blockchain Pro podcast. I'm your host, Adriana Bellotti, and in this podcast, I chat to the amazing people working on building the decentralized future. You'll be listening to my conversation with all kinds of people working in the blockchain industry, learning how they got started, and hopefully inspiring you to join the fun, because we do think that work should also be fun. Today's guest is Bucky Koo, aka Bucky Puba. Bucky is an Ethereum developer and regular contributor to Ethereum Things. He's worked on a number of ICOs as developer, auditor, and advisor, and is well known in the community for being a great developer, privacy advocate, and for wanting everyone to, and I quote, quit their shitty jobs to work in crypto. He runs regular hands-on Ethereum workshops that teach Solidity and Ethereum basics, and is also the mastermind behind the DFF, the Decentralized Future Foundation. Let's listen to our chat. Hi, Bucky.
Hi, Adriana.
How you doing?
Good, thank you.
All right, so you are my second guest, mm-hmm. and I am really, really honored to have you. Because mm-hmm. you are such a great person and a huge name in our community. So mm-hmm. thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. So to begin, let's talk a little bit about your journey into being this awesome person in the blockchain space. Mm-hmm. What were you doing before you mm-hmm. started with blockchain?
I was working as a quantitative developer. I've been working since university in the financial software industry because someone from a company pulled me from a lecture at university.
Okay.
Because I like computing and I was studying finance or actuarial studies. It did not really excite me to do the finance side of things,
mm-hmm.
but I like the software side of things because you can make systems that do things.
Yes.
Originally starting off with a password gobbler.
What's a password gobbler?
So you come up to a computer in the university room and it says username, mm-hmm. password. You type in username, password, and it says incorrect password, and then it exits to the real login screen.
Okay.
And you have captured the person's username and password.
So you started out as hacking people's passwords.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So, and that went on for a while, and someone found my source code and used it and got suspended from university. So I'm lucky I got through university.
All right.
Yes.
So someone else got suspended for your code.
Yeah, that's right.
All right.
So, I've been working in the financial software industry until September 2016,
mm-hmm.
Writing different models, calculations, reconciling transactions, and it's pretty boring because you're working with so many systems and you're shuffling data and comparing and trying to make sure it's all right. 2015... about March, I came across a talk about blockchains as a trusted platform. And I heard about Bitcoin before, but Bitcoin did not really interest me, or, you know, transferring money from one account to another account. But having a trusted platform that you can use, that was very exciting, because then you can you know, write a single transaction and it does something significant.
Mm-hmm.
Except that it was only Bitcoin then. So in about July, Ethereum came out, and that was exactly what I was looking for.
That was July 2015?
2015,
yes.
Yeah. So it first came out of mainnet, and I couldn't sleep because there's so many things to work out how to do. And you work out how to do that, there's another question, another 10 questions on different things that you want to do. And my company, I was working with a company then, and they were into trading financial instruments. Pretty boring. but it paid the bills. And they asked me, they knew I had an interest in blockchain, so they asked me to investigate blockchains on their behalf. And
so it went from being boring to being really interesting very fast.
It was, yeah, I could only think about blockchains, and I was being paid for doing it. Excellent.
Absolutely.
And then I thought, so I did a lot of reading, but in the end I decided, bugger it, I'll just build a miner and see how it works. You can see the blocks coming in and out. You can see your computer churning away, trying to calculate the hash to solve the problem. And I built one miner, and then later on a second one. Chewed up a lot of electricity, I had to work out the cooling of the system. But it was good because you can see all the network interactions, you can see the blocks being solved, and you can write your name in the block. Yes. So you can do lots of nice things. And if I thought about it a lot earlier, I would have mined blocks a little bit more anonymously. Then you'll have some anonymous coins up your sleeve that you can do things with.
What kind of things would you do with an anonymous coin?
For example, there is there are scams happening currently on the Ethereum blockchain, and accounts that receive these scam coins. And I could, for example, develop a token just to mark those scam coin accounts.
Ah, I see.
And they can't remove it.
All right.
So you can mark things. And
so it's kind of being the Ethereum blockchain police.
Yeah. So I work with some people in the Ethereum blockchain area, the White Hat group. So you know about the DAO hack, and about 50 million was stolen from the DAO, the 150 million DAO. I was doing a lot of analysis of the transactions happening in the DAO, the proposals, and then the hack happened, and the blockchain was forked. I helped to do some of the calculations so that the investors get their money back after the fork.
Okay.
So I got quite involved with some of the community members there, the police, the Ethereum police. And that was quite nice because you get to work with these people and you understand what they are trying to do. And a lot of the people in the Ethereum community, they're trying to build the technology to do nice things with it. It's not just, you know, let's make lots of money. And I got donations and other things from helping people get their DAO refunds. And it's a pretty nice economy to work in.
At the time that you were doing that, you had already quit your job.
No, not yet.
Okay, yes. So let's go through the timeline.
Yes.
So left university.
Yes.
Started working with the finance industry.
Yep.
They sort of saw that you were interested in blockchain. They wanted to understand more about it.
Yep.
They tasked you to investigating it.
Yes.
And then you started helping the Ethereum guys when the DAO hack
That's
happened.
Right, yes.
And then?
So I would do my research on blockchains at night. I would come into work and do my research on blockchains. So it was blockchains all day, all night. And then the company decided they did not want to go the blockchain way. Their shareholders were not so pro-blockchain. So they asked me to come back and do my normal job. And I could not bear that.
That being really hard.
That was so hard. So I would go and sort of pretend to do my normal job, but I'm thinking in the background about blockchains, what can be done. So they are a traditional financial instrument exchange.
Mm-hmm.
And I was saying, well, decentralized exchanges, it's a coming thing. Why don't we start looking into it? And they said they're not ready yet. So it took me 4 months to eventually give notice and quit
mm-hmm.
from that job. And it was relieving because I felt I was cheating them in, you know,
yes.
they needed work to be done, but I was doing my own things.
Okay. And what did you do after that?
So I did not get any income for the next 6 months or 3 months, 3-4 months.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just helping people write smart contracts. I was helping people to audit smart contracts for free. And then eventually other people heard about it, and so they would come to me and ask me to help them write smart contracts or
mm-hmm.
to audit them.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started providing advisory to some of these projects.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm advising a OpenANX, or now rebranded to OAX,
mm-hmm.
and they're building a decentralized exchange system
okay.
where you can create representations of currencies on the Ethereum blockchain, and it's backed by a collateral contract, so you can see how much an organization has put behind the tokens that they're issuing.
Okay.
And so it could be like Poloniex might issue their Bitcoin tokens,
mm-hmm.
and they have, you know, so many ethers in the collateral contract to back that.
So in case something happens,
yep.
they can pay the account holders
yep.
of that exchange.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Is that part of your token teleportation service?
No, no.
Because I love that name. What is that?
That came later on.
Okay.
Yeah. So the token teleportation service, I think before that, in about November 2016, there was the Golem Network token sale,
mm-hmm.
and they raised 820,000 ethers and issued tokens for it,
mm-hmm.
and there were no exchanges that was going to list the Golem Network tokens, and there was this post on Reddit that there were token trader contracts that were being created
oh.
where you can deploy a contract,
mm-hmm.
you move your Golem tokens to it, and someone else can then send ethers and they get Golem tokens directly back.
Okay.
And so I worked with those contracts, and it was originally created by a guy called Johnny Latte. It might be a guy, might be a girl, we don't know, but
okay.
this person prefers to remain anonymous, but
yep.
they are in the Sydney region.
Mm-hmm.
And so I packaged it up and created crypto derivatives, and that was a very basic decentralized exchange.
That's very interesting.
It's expensive to use because you've got to deploy a contract for yourself,
mm-hmm.
and then you move your tokens to it, and then someone can buy from it.
And you have to use gas.
You have to pay the gas.
Okay.
And at the peak, you know, CryptoCitties and all that,
mm-hmm.
You would be paying like $20 to create a token trader contract.
Okay.
But I was a bit afraid of all the regulations to develop it much more.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the Australian regulators are slowly coming around to the distinction between crypto-to-crypto exchanges versus
mm-hmm.
crypto-to-fiat exchanges.
Mm-hmm.
So I recently got rejected by AUSTRAC because they said my exchange was not a crypto-to-fiat exchange, so I could not attend their crypto exchange workshop.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So we'll be seeing them next week on the 26th.
Yes.
And I can ask them a few more questions.
Yeah, but, absolutely. I think a lot of people will be interested in hearing the answer to that one.
Yes. Yeah. So that was November 2016, and I was doing smart contracts for people early 2016, 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And then it started picking up, and I was doing audits for different different crowd sale projects. And
mm-hmm. Do you have much more requests for work than you can attend to now?
I do, yes. Yes, so it's a bit difficult.
So there's a shortage of devs in this space, and hence you've created your Bokipuba, the Ethereum workshop.
Yeah, the Ethereum workshop, which is just running in, it runs in the next room here in at the Tyro FinTech Hub.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good that Tyro have provided the space for this to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we have workshops twice a week, and the idea is to try to make it interesting enough to let people see what it takes to build things that can make a difference, building it on the blockchain.
And how experienced does a dev have to be to attend your workshop?
So we've got, so ideally if you've got some dev background and just understand some of the logic mm-hmm. already of how to put the blocks together,
mm-hmm.
then building smart contracts is relatively easy.
Mm-hmm.
Building good smart contracts, that's hard
mm-hmm.
To create it so that it can't be hacked.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a whole lot of other work happening in the crypto space, like an ICO project. They need people from the community managers
mm-hmm.
Through graphics, through a whole lot of admin and other things.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to capture as many of these people with that potential to an interest to join that space. Because I'm working for the crowd sale project, they're paying my bills.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't mind building the developer mm-hmm. Ecosystem.
So the workshop is for developers, but also anyone who has an interest in this and want to understand what happens in a crowd sale, for example. So they can come, and even if they are in marketing or in admin, or if they like people and they want to manage a community, they can attend the workshop as well.
And so we go through different types of workshops. There's mm-hmm. some in-depth workshop where we go through code and we deploy and we see what happens with the transactions. We go through some workshops where we look at vulnerabilities in smart contracts. We go through workshops where we explain the basics of blockchains.
Mm-hmm.
And, I've got about 5 different people from the community now helping to run the workshop.
Mm-hmm.
So there's one happening this evening, and it's being run by the other people in the group.
It's good to have help.
Yeah, so it's becoming decentralized, and they just manage it. And
that's
you know,
the way.
Yes. So it's an interesting process. So in trying to develop this, at first you want to hold their hands
mm-hmm.
and then you provide, give them some responsibility to do this.
Mm-hmm.
You throw them in and then they have to sink or swim. And then when they've got the confidence, they start running it themselves. And then you've got to step back and you've got to, you know, keep your mouth shut. And so they have the opportunity to grow into that space. And it's good. Now we have got like Mark, who's doing the JavaScript side, which is required to connect to the blockchain. We've got James, who's working on a smart contract. We've got David, who has been helping to run the workshops, and with Andy, and we've got Roberto, who does the theory, mm-hmm. the theoretical stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So he comes in and talks about formulas, and
he's
currently planning 10 workshop sessions on zk-SNARKs, which is the privacy technology on the blockchain. So it's happening.
That's pretty exciting. How do you personally, when you're talking to someone outside of the space, how do you explain blockchain to regular people?
It's very conflicting.
I know it's a hard thing to do.
Yes. Because my kids go to soccer, they go to cricket,
mm-hmm.
and the people there want to talk about soccer and cricket, and I talk back blockchains.
Maybe we should make a cricket coin, soccer coin.
Yes, that's right. The league table and all run by coins and smart contracts.
Absolutely. If you make people bet with coins, everyone would love it.
That's right. Everywhere I go, I'm always thinking about blockchains, and the conversation steers that way.
And what's an easy way to tell people what a blockchain is? Because it's a real big buzzword.
Yes.
And if you ask 20 different people, you're going to hear 20 different things, sort of.
Yep.
Some more in depth, some less in depth. So to your to the parents of your kids' friends, how do you explain blockchain if they talk about that and not about soccer? Yes.
A beautiful system.
A beautiful system?
Yes.
Okay.
Like you look at a flower and you can see the patterns are mathematically there.
Mm-hmm.
With the blockchain, I think it's there because I don't understand enough of the low-level mathematics,
mm-hmm.
but it seems to work. There are people who seem to know what they're doing, and the technology has so far been unhackable, mm-hmm. the actual crypto side of the blockchain.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I see it as a platform where you can do things on it, so send transactions, and a transaction does things, and no one can change it.
Mm-hmm.
Other than yourself, mm-hmm. your own transactions.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all secured through the public key cryptography. So it's nice. How do I explain it? It takes hours and hours.
It does. It's hard to do it in one sitting.
Yes, that's right. So with the soccer season and the cricket season, they're gone for many months.
All right.
And so I just go slowly and talk to them about it. I tell them, for those who are interested, come along to the workshops, and you know, we'll try to make it a bit clearer. And
And you started out as an Ethereum maximalist. Are you still one, or are there any other chains there that sort of interest you now?
I'm interested in the Ethereum chain because I like the people working on it.
Mm-hmm.
I like what they want to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
So to build the technology, to build it decentralized. And scaling is a secondary issue. It's mm-hmm. coming, but mm-hmm. the primary focus is a decentralized system where you don't have one central authority or a few central authorities having control over it.
Mm-hmm.
I like that philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, if you're talking about some of the other blockchains that are boasting like 1,000 transactions per second,
mm-hmm.
They are a bit concentrated in the power of who can do what.
But is that because they are very new and perhaps they are sort of using this time to test their technology so other people can join later and that's already done? Or do you think they are centralized because they want to be and that's all they're going to ever be?
I think to create the throughput, mm-hmm. to build their system that handles the throughput, they've had to centralize it. They had to sacrifice some of the decentralization aspects mm-hmm. of the blockchain.
Mm-hmm.
But what I think will end up happening is that because at the start of the process, this, you know, the new blockchain that they're creating,
mm-hmm.
It becomes centralized, and the centralized powers will want to keep it that way. So it's going to be hard to deviate away mm-hmm. from the centralized system.
Mm-hmm.
With Ethereum, they had the proof of work,
mm-hmm.
but near the start of the blockchain, they put in something called the difficulty bomb. And that was so that in a year's time,
mm-hmm.
the blockchain will get so hard to mine that it would disincentivize miners to mine it because they wanted to move to proof of stake.
Mm-hmm.
So they have longer term aspirations, and that has been delayed because the research and the implementation of the proof of stake has not come out yet.
Yeah.
But yeah, the intentions are good.
So they have this bomb, which is a time bomb.
Yes.
It's not just a dynamite that they're throwing in the chain, because they can control when it explodes and therefore when people will move from proof of work to proof of stake. What's the difference between proof of work and proof of stake?
So proof of work, you've got the miners have to put down money and buy computer hardware.
Mm-hmm.
And on the Ethereum blockchain is graphics cards, mm-hmm. so your gaming cards.
Mm-hmm.
And you put them onto the motherboard, and you get it to churn away, mm-hmm. doing the calculations in parallel on the GPUs. On proof of stake, you have to have ethers, and you need a relatively modest powered computer,
mm-hmm.
That needs to be online all the time,
mm-hmm.
and based on your collateral that you put in, so you put a deposit into the proof of stake contract,
mm-hmm.
and you validate transactions. If you are caught cheating,
mm-hmm.
validating the transactions incorrectly,
mm-hmm.
then some of your stake is deducted from.
Okay.
If you do what you're meant to be doing, validating the transactions correctly,
mm-hmm.
you earn some coins.
So your stake increases.
So your stake earns something like interest.
Mm-hmm.
And the more stake you have, the more chances you'll get at mining the blocks.
Okay, but that isn't that like going to create a disadvantage for people of the, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? The disadvantaged economies.
Yep.
To mine.
Yeah, so it's tricky because I can see that it would end up with the whales controlling the blockchain.
Yes.
There's some projects like Rocket Pool, which is run out of Queensland, David Rugendyke,
mm-hmm.
and he's creating a system where the small minnows can put their ethers into a pool of
mm-hmm.
a pool, and that goes into the stake.
Like we have mining pools for
yep.
the proof of work.
Yep.
Okay.
So he's building the mining pools for the proof of stake.
Okay.
And presumably he'll be running the computers as well. And so it would give the smaller holders a chance to participate in the proof of stake.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, there is a big issue with people who are currently in economies where there's no internet.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have access to blockchains. They don't have access
mm-hmm.
to be one of the early adopters in the blockchain system and
mm-hmm.
benefit from the growth that comes from it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know how to solve that. I was just talking to you about community currencies.
Yes, well, we'll have to give them internet.
Yes.
But somehow we have to solve that problem first, don't we?
Yes. So some of the interesting things are your payment systems through mobile phones.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lady talking about BitPesa
mm-hmm.
in Africa, I think?
I think Kenya,
yeah.
maybe? Mm-hmm. I'm not sure which
yeah.
country.
But having your mobile phone execute transactions and be a bank.
Mm-hmm.
So just yesterday I was officially put as the advisor for Sentinel Chain.
Okay.
And Sentinel Chain is doing some interesting things. They're putting cows on the blockchain.
Okay.
So if you're a subsistence farmer with 3 cows,
okay.
You get it tagged with an electronic tag.
Mm-hmm.
You scan it with your phone, and the government insurer comes and scans it with their phone.
Mm-hmm.
And then that becomes an asset that can live on the blockchain.
Mm-hmm.
And you can put your 3 cows into a collateral contract.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe in your village, you might all pull in and you might have 50 cows in the collateral contract.
Okay.
And based on that, you can borrow money to grow a bit more.
Okay.
Buy
more cows or do something else with
yep.
your farm.
Yep.
That's
very interesting. Yeah. So currently, a lot of these people are unbanked because
mm-hmm.
Cows are pretty illiquid.
Mm-hmm.
yes. So interesting things happening.
That's a different way of milking a cow.
Yes, that's right. Yes, milking cows on a blockchain.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. So, just to end, we're getting close to the 30-minute mark.
Mm-hmm.
So, for a developer
mm-hmm.
that's coming out of university, let's talk to them first.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think is the best way for them to start in the blockchain space?
Come to the workshops.
And what if they're not in Sydney?
If they're not in Sydney, that's a bit harder. because it's much easier when someone can show you what can be done easily.
Mm-hmm.
This is how you do something.
Mm-hmm.
And it's 20 steps. And then you can go back home and you test it out. And
so perhaps look up and see if there's a meetup near you.
Yep.
It could be, if you're in Sydney, there's
yep.
Bucky's meetup.
Yep.
If you're not, just look at a meetup near you
mm-hmm.
or talk to the people at your university. Perhaps
yep.
university are running workshops as well.
Yep. So there's a Telegram group. So the Telegram, my workshop Telegram group, we've got people from the US, India, Europe.
Do you record your workshops?
No. Okay. So I do record the workshops, but we haven't got the throughput to put it onto the internet yet,
mm-hmm.
and I'm a bit afraid of Google, So I can't
okay,
I can't enough. Create a Google account to upload my videos.
Okay.
But yeah, there are meetups, there are Telegram groups, mm-hmm. like the workshop group I run.
I will put the links on the show mm-hmm. notes.
Yep. And you know, you can pop in and say, how do I do this?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're working by yourself and trying to understand how the blockchain works and what you can do with it, I went through that process in November, since July 2015.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many bits of documentation you got to look up,
mm-hmm.
and it's a bit difficult because the technology is moving so fast mm-hmm. that by the time you try something out, it's changed and it stops working.
Yep.
Having someone who can guide you is a lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, so they can reach out to you via the Telegram group.
Yep.
And we can try and help them find someone mm-hmm. else to work with.
Yep. Or there's the Reddit @dev, ETHdev.
Mm-hmm.
That's for fresh people coming into the Ethereum blockchain, and people post up questions and they get answers sometimes. There's also the Ethereum Stack Exchange. So I learned a lot on the Ethereum Stack Exchange.
Okay.
Because people would ask a question, and I'd just go look in the repository, the source code repository, or Google, and find the answer and write it down. And when I write it down, I understand it a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I learned a lot.
Learn by doing,
yeah. So, you know, join Ethereum Stack Exchange and ask questions, but before you ask, have a good search around to see whether there's already an answer.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Think any final words of wisdom?
I don't know, but it's an exciting phase.
Yes,
it is. There's so much that can potentially be done,
mm-hmm.
but trying to work out how to do it, that's the difficult thing.
True. Mm. But just get in there and
get
involved.
That's right.
Awesome.
It's a giant box of Lego Mindstorm for me.
All right.
Where, you know, every day there's new pieces coming out and you've got to work out how to put it together.
And sometimes you wake up in the middle of the night and you go get a drink of water and you step in one of them and it hurts a lot.
Yeah, so my sleep patterns, you know, I go to sleep late. I wake up in an hour, I have to check something. Check the Telegram group, go back to sleep again. And this happens a few times each night, but I'm used to it because I had kids. And when they're young, you get used to waking up. Yeah.
So the sleeping patterns of obsessed Ethereum developer.
Yes, yes. That's
thanks,
right.
Marky.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Adriana.
Thank
mm-hmm.
you. That was it. Thanks for being here. I hope you enjoyed it and learned something new. To get in touch with Boki, you can reach out to him on Twitter at BokiPooba, BokyPooBah. You can let him know you heard him here and ask him questions. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe. And if you have any questions, feel free to get in touch. You can find me on Twitter at abelotti, ABELOTTI, and email me at blockchainpp@gmail.com. Until the next block.